Thanks be to God. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus say, "The kingdom of God is within us." And this is good news. All the potential and promise and plan for the kingdom of God is inside each of us. We looked at the metaphor of a seed lying dormant, waiting to sprout. It has all the information and resources it needs to fulfill its potential, wrapped up in its tough little coat. Just like a seed waiting to sprout, we were and are designed by God to be builders of his kingdom. We are created for kingdom living. We are each designed to be a particular part of God's kingdom, each unique and valuable. And the kingdom of God is life-giving to us and all creation. Jesus spent much of his life outdoors. He grew up in a rural area of Palestine. I'm sure he was a kid running around barefoot in the hills, checking out bugs and snakes and watching the birds and watching the plants. And at the beginning of his ministry, he spent 40 days in the wilderness. He must have gazed at the moon and the stars at night and studied the plants and animals that surrounded him during the day. It's no wonder that he used many examples from the natural world to teach us about God's kingdom. He saw nature as a reflection of God's good plan. He saw nature as evidence of God's presence everywhere. Many original cultures also learned about Creator from the world around them. The way the beauty of nature made them feel led them to believe that all creation was holy and worth learning from. Here is a story from Robin Wall Kimmerer, a Potawatomi botanist, and that's the indigenous people from the Great Lakes region of the U.S. In the indigenous view, humans are viewed as somewhat lesser beings in the democracy of species. We are referred to as the younger brothers of creation. So like younger brothers, we must learn from our elders. Plants were here first and have had a long time to figure things out. They live both above and below ground and hold the earth in place. Plants know how to make food from light and water. Not only do they feed themselves, but they make enough to sustain the lives of the rest of us. Plants are providers for the rest of the community and exemplify the virtue of generosity, always offering food. I love the one line, "Plants were here first and have had a long time to figure things out." We have a lot to learn from plants. So let's dig in. Ha ha. The question this week is, how do we grow? Here is more good news. God provides all we need to grow as kingdom people. Did any of you plant your seeds last Sunday? Good. Do you have any seedlings yet? Oh, okay. I think I have about 20 little tamarigolds with two little leaves on them. So you miss your garden, I'll bet.
Yeah.
So how did that happen? Plants have two main areas of growth, the part growing up and the part growing down. You might recall that the seed needs warmth, usually from the sun, and moisture to get started. The moisture causes the seed to swell and split open, and roots and shoots start to sprout. After the sprout breaks the surface of the soil, the sun provides more than just warmth. It provides light. And through the miraculous process of photosynthesis, the plant continues to grow. Inside a plant's leaves is a molecule called chlorophyll. Photosynthesis starts when chlorophyll molecules absorb energy from sunlight, and they convert light energy to chemical energy. Isn't that just remarkable? This changes water and carbon dioxide into oxygen and sugars. The plants use some of the sugars and store the rest, and the oxygen is released into the air. Light makes things grow. We also need light to grow. Physically and intellectually, we need light. We need light to see, to understand, to stay on the right path. In the same way, our hearts and souls need God's light to grow and change as part of God's kingdom. God's light guides us, warms us, heals us, and protects us. Last week, you had no trouble last week listing off a dozen things that looked like the kingdom of God. This shows that God's light is in you. You listed things like people are safe, the hungry are fed, the lonely find companionship, the sick are made whole again, the thirsty find water, and the oppressed find justice. In God's light, we already have a clear picture of what the kingdom looks like. I hope I'm not stretching this metaphor too far, but we experience spiritual photosynthesis. God's light changes something inside of us so that we can produce something beautiful or useful or nourishing. The kingdom starts to grow within us and among us. God's light also shows us what is not in the kingdom. Sometimes we need our eyes opened. We need to open our eyes and see where we are really missing the mark. God shines a light on situations that reveal a truth we hadn't seen before. Maybe you're in a situation that isn't healthy. God can show you the situation in a whole new light and show you a way out. Maybe you are stumbling around in the dark a bit. You have a habit or a way of being or a weakness, but God's light will sneak in and say, "You can be better. You can be stronger. You can be more loving. You can be more forgiving." God says, "Follow me. I'll come and find you in the dark, and I won't leave you in the dark." God's light is available to all of us so that we can grow. There's another part of the plant, the part that grows down. It's the part of God's kingdom which grows where we can't see it, down in the roots. What is it doing down there in the dark? What does a plant get from its roots? Can you tell me? Just shout it out. Water? Pardon? Minerals. Yeah? Yep. Nitrogen? Pardon? Light? Stability. Exactly. Without roots, without rootedness, a plant cannot long survive. It will fall over, dry up, and wilt away. It will never become the fruitful plant that it was intended to be. Our scripture today said, "Abide in me," that's Christ the vine, "as I abide in you." Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. The vine is the plant's connection to its roots, its connection to the soil. There is something deep and true and life-giving about being connected to the vine, connected to the roots. The first thing, as someone said, a plant gets from its roots is stability. It gets an anchor to keep it from toppling over as it grows. Whether it's a dandelion or a towering redwood tree, the roots are designed to keep that plant grounded and steady. Have any of you ever tried to uproot a dandelion? Mm-hmm. They have long roots. Sometimes it's twice the length of the stem and the flower. They are very tenacious. On the other hand, redwood trees grow up to 300 feet tall. You would think that they would have deep roots to keep them balanced and secure, but you would be wrong. Their roots are no more than 6 to 12 feet deep. That's only 1/25 of their height. But their roots spread out 60 to 80 feet, and they intertwine with the roots of the other redwoods. They hang on to each other. Isn't that amazing? We need roots too. We need something to provide stability, something to base our life on, something sturdy and tenacious to keep us grounded. That's where faith comes in. What are some of the deep roots of faith that you can depend on? What would you call your roots of faith? Love? Where did you get your roots? Stories of the Bible. Yeah. Pardon? Being giving, yep. Yeah. Family? Yeah. Sunday school teachers, yeah. And we can also set our roots down in the stories and promises of God and the examples of Jesus. In that, we have good grounding for growth. Think of all the people of faith in the Bible. Abraham, who left his home country to find a better life. Rahab, who welcomed the Israelite spies into her home so that she and her family could survive the attack on Jericho. Think of the disciples who left their jobs and their families to follow a very radical new preacher. Think of Lydia, a businesswoman who risked her reputation to support Paul and other early Christians as the young church grew. And we also have the example of faith of Jesus, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness. That's from Philippians chapter 2. Jesus became one of us, even to the point of death. Roots. And sometimes, as you said, we have the faith of our parents or elders who have gone before, Sunday school teachers. Those are the roots that are intertwined with the roots of other people of faith, just like the redwoods. They put others on the same faith path and hang on. No matter how deep or shallow our roots are, God is faithful. So stay connected to the vine. Stay rooted in your faith. Another thing that you mentioned roots do is provide plants with water and nutrients. Delivered by the water in tubes called xylem, nutrients build the plant cell by cell. Nitrogen is needed for plant, leaf, and stem growth. Phosphorus is used for root and seed production. Potassium helps nutrients move throughout the plant and improves the flavor of many fruits and vegetables. I think some of those tomatoes that we buy in the stores could use a shot of potassium. So what kind of nutrients do we need to grow into God's kingdom? To a certain extent, like plants, we must bloom where we are planted. But we have a bit more freedom than plants. We can seek out the nutrients that we need to flourish. So ask yourself, what feeds my faith? So now I'm asking you, what feeds your faith? God? In what form? How does God show up to feed your faith? Give donations, so generosity. Okay. What other things feed your faith? Actions. Yep. Pardon? Going to church. Yep. Yeah. Did somebody else say something? Prayer. Yeah. So like you said, for some people, it's reading books or studying scripture. For some, it is gathering with other believers or having a lively debate with other seekers. For some, it's times of worship. For some, it's working together with other activists on a social justice project, like Pat said. It may be times of silence or contemplation. What makes you strong? What keeps you going? What makes you brave? That's the stuff that the kingdom growth is made of. That's the stuff that feeds our soul. God sends us what we need to keep us growing up, getting bigger and stronger in the world, and to strengthen the depth of our faith, rooting it in the solid ground of God's presence and promises, and to make us flavorful, tasty, and appealing. There is no point in being tall in faith or rooted in faith if we are tasteless and boring. God created us for rejoicing, dancing, singing, laughing, embracing, fighting for justice, being fun to be around. We are supposed to be the tasty tomatoes in the world. If you're having trouble of thinking what feeds your faith, try looking at it the other way. Where are the weeds in my life? Where do I need a bit of pruning? What stunts my growth? What distracts me? Maybe I could do less of that. What discourages me? Can I avoid those situations? What makes me anxious? Can you spend your time in some other way? In other words, what robs me of flavor, growth, and stability? What can I do to change that? What can you do this very day, this very week, to make room to grow in God? Is there some distraction that you need to get out of the way? What can you do to grow God's kingdom around you? Is there a simple, healthy daily practice, like reading scripture or praying or walking in nature or sitting in silence, that you could start? What can you do to clear the channels between you and God? But don't take this on as a big effort. This is not a self-improvement project. When you were a kid, did you ever go to a family gathering and some relative or friend that you hadn't seen for a while came up to you and your parents and said, can you think of what you might have heard? My, how you have grown. This always mystified me. What was I supposed to do? What was I supposed to say? I had had nothing to do with it. It just happened. There was no virtue about it. My parents had something to do with it. They did feed me. But really, it was not the result of any effort on my part. We are just created for growth. It happens naturally if we have the necessities for growth, which we all do. Remember what St. Francis said. Just by your existence, you bring glory to God. Please plant that in your heart and take that with you today. Just by your existence, you bring glory to God. I'm going to ask you to take a few minutes and ask yourself these questions. What helps me grow? And is there anything I need to prune? We'll just take a few minutes to do that.